Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to just receive together. And Father, we just pray that as we break the bread of the word of God, Lord, that it would nourish our souls tonight. Lord, that it would bring faith to our hearts. And Father, that it would move us to believe you, move us to obey you, move us, Lord, to live for you and bring glory and honor to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, on Sundays we've been talking about, been sharing about being strong. And this past Sunday we talked about the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, anybody ever down? Nobody likes to admit it. I heard about one old guy who's 80 years old, and he said, I've never been down. He said, I'm either up or getting up. Well, that's a good way to be. Amen. I mean, if you are down, you ought to be getting up. But you know what? It's not always that simple, is it? It's not always that easy. I mean, sometimes you want to get up, but you're down. And I just want you to know something. All of us, one way or another, one time or another, have gotten down. And for some of us, it's happened many times. Some of you, you've been down so long, you don't remember what it's like to be up. But I want you to know this, that the Lord will lift you up. Do you know, it's really not anything new for God's people to get down. If you read through the scripture, you will see that many of the great men and women of God, at one time or another, they got down. And when you think of maybe somebody that, you know, had that real strong, positive personality, I usually think of the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was a man who was so driven, and in fact, it seems like, at least with his dealings with John Mark, that he didn't have much compassion on people who were not as driven and maybe who were not as resilient as he was. But even the Apostle Paul went through some things that brought despair. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:8 and 9, he says, we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure. You ever felt like that? Above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now, we need to get this. The scripture says we didn't trust in ourselves. You know, sometimes it takes for us to get to a really low place where we absolutely are no longer trusting in ourselves, but in God. I'm telling you, human pride is a terrible thing, and it can be a really difficult route to get out. But when you're on the bottom of the barrel, and when you come to the end of your rope, and you got nowhere to go but God, it'll bring you to that place where you no longer trust in yourself, but in God alone. But the good news is tonight is the Lord will lift you up. Psalms 146, verse 8 in the New International Version says, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. Well, could that be any clearer? He lifts up those who are bowed down. By the way, if you're not bowed down, listen, if you're not down in some way, well, you're going to come across the path of some people this week that are, and you're going to have a message for them. Amen. But as I said, almost all of us, at one time or another, we're going through some things. We're going to go through some battles, and we need to have this word. We need to know that the Lord will lift up those who are bowed down. Sometimes you get weary in well-doing. The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. How many of you have ever done something the Bible said not to do? Don't raise your hand, Carmen. There's only two honest people in here. But the Bible tells us not to be weary in well-doing, but sometimes we get down, we get weary. Sometimes it is an attack or an oppression of the devil. Sometimes just the pressures of life can weigh you down, burdens that are too heavy. But however you get bowed down, I'm telling you, the Lord will lift you up. There's a story in Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. It says, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Here's somebody that was bowed over with sickness, a spirit of infirmity. Now, I want you to know there are a lot of people that are bowed over, not on the outside, but on the inside. Some people have been bowed over for years. See, we remember we have an adversary, an enemy of our soul, and he is always working against us. And I'm telling you, he brings oppression into people's minds to make them fearful, to put pain, emotional pain on them, to drag them down. Some bowed down by the weights of sin, a habit, an addiction. Some bowed down with condemnation. Some bowed down with hurts, heartache, tragedy. Psalm 145:14 says, "The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down." I like it when the Bible says all. The Lord lifts up all who are bowed down. That includes me. Some of you need to say it. I mean, you need to get it. That includes me. The Lord lifts up all who are bowed down. That's the Lord that we serve. He is a Father who loves us, who wants to help us when we fall, when we're under a load too heavy, when you can't do it on your own, when you come to the end of your strength and you say, "I know how to have joy. I know I need to get up." I'm telling you, there is a Lord that loves you enough that he lifts up all who are bowed down. You know, sometimes it can be events in our life that get us down. I remember going through one of those periods where I was in between ministry positions, and man, it can just weigh on you. It just gets you down when the weeks go by and the months go by, and you know you don't know where God's going to put you or what you're going to do, and you know that's your livelihood and all those kinds of things, but the Lord provides, the Lord makes a way, but I'm just telling you that you go through those kinds of times, it can get you down. Some people are bowed down with financial oppression. In fact, some people, I'm telling you, there's a poverty spirit that they get down and just can't get up. But you know what? The Lord can lift you out of that. Listen to these verses from Psalm 113, verse 7 and 8. It says, "He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people." Don't disregard the promise of God's word. Instead, believe the promise of his word. What a wonderful promise that he raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. You know, sometimes people have been critical of preachers who preach the Bible and read scriptures and preach scriptures like that. And they say things like, "You know, that only works in an affluent country. That doesn't work over in the third world countries. It works more over there than it does here." Because there's so many poor people who have absolutely nothing. They're absolutely destitute. And it's amazing when the gospel is preached and those people get saved. Listen, I'm not going to say they're driving a Mercedes next week, but I'm going to tell you that God makes a way. God lifts them out of their poverty. There's a difference. It's real. The promise of His Word. And I'm telling you tonight, if you feel like you are under that oppression financially, listen, He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap that He may seat him with the princes, of His people. You might feel like there's no way that you can rise above the situation you're in or a weakness or your past. But I'm telling you, when we trust in Him instead of ourselves, like the Apostle Paul did, God will make a way. He'll lift us up. You know, we can get weary, get down. We find ourselves caught in the mire. So often we are trying in our own strength. But it's when we look to Him that the strength comes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That woman that was bowed down in Luke 13, she was oppressed by a spirit. And, you know, Satan wants to make people, he wants believers to be ineffective for God. He wants to keep you from your calling. He wants to keep you from being fruitful. See, if you're bowed down, whether it's physically or in some way emotionally, mentally, spiritually, however it might be, it's hard to minister to somebody else when you're bowed down. You know, when you're just looking at your own feet and thinking about what you're dealing with, it's really hard to lift up your eyes and look at the fields and minister to other people. And I'm just telling you, Satan wants to keep people bowed down because he doesn't want them doing what God wants them to do. He wants to hinder your walk with God. You know, some people get so far down, they start feeling like the Lord has let them down. You ever talk to those people? There's a lot of people out there that way. They think that somehow that God has let them down or forsaken them. Satan wants to bow people down to destroy their vision. See, when you're looking at the ground, you don't have no vision. You don't have any plan. You're not looking at a destiny and what God wants. People that are down for a long time, they lose hope. Sometimes they just give up. They just decide that, you know, well, maybe God does things for other people. Maybe God has a plan for other people, but my life's going nowhere. Satan wants people to be miserable. Anybody ever heard misery loves company? Well, guess who's miserable? Satan is miserable. Booted out of heaven, destined for the lake of fire. It's just a matter of time. It's coming. And he wants to take as many with him as he can. And if he can't take you to hell, well, he'll try to bring hell to you. He'll try to make you miserable. Try to drag you down, keep you bowed down, oppress you. But I'm telling you, the Lord will lift you up. I think sometimes people don't even realize how much they've been bowed down because maybe it happened over a long period of time. Or maybe they've been that way so long, they've forgotten what it's like to really be free, to really have joy, really have victory. Jesus said, Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still setting at liberty those that are oppressed. He lifts us up. lifts us up out of the pit of despair, the pit of depression, the pit of destruction, the pit of sickness, the pit of addiction. You ever been in a pit? Can't get out. The Lord will lift you out. I love this verse from Psalms 103 and verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. Now, some of you may have heard this story before, but it's pretty remarkable, and I want to share it with you tonight. In 1990, Dwayne Miller served as the pastor at First Baptist in Brenham, Texas, and he contracted a virus that damaged the nerve tissue in his vocal cords, and they said it was beyond repair. He saw over 63 specialists and their teams trying to diagnose and get answers and you know, find a cure. Altogether, 200 doctors. And he was left with a voice that sounded like the worst case of laryngitis that you could imagine. So his church was very gracious and patient with him, but he felt like it was just the right thing for him to resign. And so he did, and he moved back to his hometown of Houston. And while he was there, they went to the First Baptist Church there and attended there, and they knew of his ability and everything. And so even though he couldn't really preach, he could barely talk at all, and he had to use all of the force he could muster just to be able to get out a whisper. But they had him teach a Sunday school class. And in 1992, in April of 92, he started teaching this Sunday school class. And in January of 93, as he was teaching the class, something happened. And we're going to play a clip, let you hear what happened.
So when the psalmist writes, "And he heals all of my diseases," let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. Now you have to be careful on how you do this, because there are folks who carry things to an excess and it becomes a show. And God has never intended that that be what it is. God heals in his sovereign will. I don't know why God does things that he does, but I know that he does. And the only thing he requires of me is to allow him to be God and me to be me, and let it be. To say that every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So the psalmist says, "I'm excited. Bless the Lord, O my soul." One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And in verse 4 he says, "And he redeems my life from the pit." Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm a bit overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles.
Wow. Isn't that an awesome miracle? You know, this man, for 3 years, he couldn't preach. He said that was all he had ever done for a living, was speak. And his wife had to become the breadwinner. And 3 years, they gave him no hope. They said it could never be fixed. By the way, he went back to the doctors after this, and the doctor said that they could not tell that his vocal cords had ever been damaged. The healing was so complete. Well, that didn't turn out to be a typical Baptist Sunday school class, I'm just telling you. I love it when he says, he heals all my diseases and redeems my life from the pit, and his voice changes. It is awesome. He heals all my diseases, redeems my life from the pit. Amen. Some 20-something years later, he says he still celebrates that day every day. And he says, if God could do that for me, he can solve whatever problem you have in your life. He loves you every bit as much as he loves me. He lifts us up. I know. I'm not a very good storyteller, and I don't, you know, I can tell a story that should take 10 minutes and takes me 15 seconds, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. I've had a lot of pits in my life. I've had a lot of times when it was just like, Lord, I don't see the end. I don't see how to get out of this mess and this situation. You know, I told you I went through a time when I wasn't at a place of ministry, didn't have a job. But I had another time when I had a job, had a place of ministry, and it was a pit. And I'm just telling you, I've been in some pits. But God is faithful, and he'll lift you out. He'll bring you through. So how do we get out? If you're down, what do you do? Well, first, you need to call upon the Lord. David said in Psalm 55 and 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. You know, some people say the Lord helps those who help themselves. Well, maybe, but I'll tell you, he certainly helps those who can't help themselves when they look to him and trust in him. Psalm 147 and verse 6 says, the Lord lifts up the humble. Do you know he won't lift up the proud? In fact, the Bible says that he'll bring the proud down, but he lifts up the humble. You see, when we humble ourselves in prayer and we say, God, I can't do it. I got to have your help. That's a good place to be. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So like a child, you know, when a child falls and their father is standing there, they lift up their arms and daddy helps them up. And I'm telling you, our Heavenly Father will help you up. Second, we have to hope in him. Don't look to anything else. I want to tell you something. Sometimes God will use somebody else or something else to help you, but your focus, your attention, your trust has to be in the Lord. Psalm 42, 5 and 6 says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God." That's where your faith and trust has to be. Third, whatever he says to you, do it. Obey God. Like the woman that was bowed over, you notice the scripture said he called her to him and he laid his hands on her. What if she didn't go? You know, it's not usually a complicated thing. I mean, we might think it's complicated, but usually when God tells us to do something, it's pretty simple. He says things like, forgive. Believe. Simple things like he said to the man with a withered hand, he said, stretch out your hand. Sometimes he says, go wash. Sometimes he says, give. Sometimes he says, minister to others. And fourth, like the woman who is bowed over, the Bible says that immediately she was straightened and she glorified God. And I'm telling you, we got to always give all the glory to God. There is a temptation to forget. I love the story about Dwayne Miller. I love how he still talks about it over 20 years later and says, I still celebrate it. Because some people seem to forget when God brought them through the darkest and most difficult times. Instead, we need to always give God glory, always glorify him, give him the praise. When David went through a difficult time and God brought him through, David wrote a song about it. Well, he wrote so many, didn't he? But he wrote a song in 2 Samuel 22. And we're going to end this service a little different tonight than we usually do on Wednesday night. Our worship team's going to come back. But I just want to read to you this song that David wrote in 2 Samuel 22. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise and am saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies, bolts of lightning and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." I'm telling you, David had been in some pits, and the Lord lifted him out, brought him through to victory. I want you to stand with me. And tonight, we're going to go back, and we're going to sing this song that we sang earlier during our worship time. And I just want you to know, that God is well able to lift you up. Right here, right now, tonight, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's something mental or emotional or something going on in your family, I'm telling you, God is able to lift you up, to turn it around. And I just want to encourage you to just worship Him. If you need prayer tonight, you want somebody to agree with you in prayer, I'd like for some prayer partners to come and just make themselves available here. And if you want special prayer, we want to be here for you to agree with you and believe God with you. But let's worship Him. Let's just let Him lift us up tonight, all right?